Venerable religious, dear parishioners and guests, I would like to offer a reflection on the three masses of Christmas Day. And this is something unique to Christmas in that every priest is allowed to offer three masses on Christmas. The usual law, and it's a strict one, is only one mass a day. Out of necessity, when people would otherwise be missing Mass on a Sunday or a holy day, he's allowed to say an additional Mass or more. But Christmas Day, even if there's no need, three Masses. And this is one of the very ancient traditions in the Church. And there's so much beauty and inspiration and tradition in these three. So that's why I would like to offer this reflection to help you with your Christmas observance. You are all at what is called the Mass of the Angels, because that's the focus of the adorers at the first Mass, the angels. The second Mass is called the Mass of the Shepherds, because now the focus shifts to the shepherds, they who came to worship. The angels have disappeared. They've gone back to heaven. And then the third Mass is called the Mass of the Kings, because we focus on the Magi coming from the east to adore. So this is the wonderful focus that we have. Again, the Mass of the Angels at midnight, the Mass of the Shepherds at dawn, and the Mass of the Kings during the day. All three of these entities have their special worship to give to the newborn King. The angels came as messengers. What a sight that must have been in the skies. And of course, the shepherds are the ones who see them, expressing their praise, expressing their. I'm sure they were doing it with the most wonderful music, and they're singing "Glory to God in the highest." And of course, that occurs in most masses: "Gloria in excelsis Deo," glory to God. And here the angels are teaching us what to do, what to say, how to pray. Give glory to God. It was the motto of the Jesuit order, they who founded this edifice, Mount St. Michael, over 100 years ago. Their motto was, all for the glory of God. And you always gain heavenly merit when you do things for the glory of God. So there we see again the worship of the angels. We go on to the Mass of the Shepherds, and we remember that Christ became man not for the angels. There was no redemption for those angels that fell. There was only redemption for man. And God would become one of mankind, not one of angel kind. But that was God's will, and the good angels accepted that. And they felt their privilege to glorify God. But now we're talking about the ones who came to be redeemed. And they bring the worship of repentant sinners, for we are all sinners. We can all relate, for every one of us is a sinner. It really caught my eye as I was praying and reflecting on Christmas Eve. What occurs in the second Mass of Christmas. This is St. Paul's letter to Titus, which you haven't had read to you here, but you can read it in your missals. When the goodness and kindness of God our Savior appeared, not by reason of good works that we did ourselves, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And the thought that came to me is there is no way we could have deserved to have Christmas. This was a gift of God, unmerited, unearned on our part. It was just God's goodness. I am going to give myself. You know, Christmas is Jesus' birthday. And we should be thinking of the presents that we need to give to him. And yet, look what Christmas is. It's such an outpouring of gifts to us. He gives himself. He gives his mother to us. He gives Saint Joseph to us as a special patron and protector. And Christmas itself is a gift. And we're reminded of how overwhelmed we are by the gifts of God on Christmas Day. And again, it's his birthday, and we need to be giving him the gifts. But look at what he gives to us. And of course, we could not earn this or merit it, this doesn't mean we sit back and say, of course, God's doing it all. No, of course not. As St. James tells us, we are saved by works and not by faith alone. So we have to do our part. But just let that thought just seep into you more. Unmerited by me or by the human race in any way, God gave the gift of his son. He gave him to the shepherds who came to worship him as those repentant sinners. And remember, no repentant sinner is excluded. Jesus came to save us. We need to just make sure we remember that and repent of our sins and go to him and receive his grace, receive his mercy. And then finally, the third Mass, the Mass of the Kings. The last gospel for that will be of the kings coming from the east to worship him. What a sight that must have been in Jerusalem, the Magi arriving with their royal retinue, their camels, their entourage, their gifts. Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We have come to worship him. And as the gospel tells us, they not only knelt down, they prostrated themselves on the ground. And this is a lesson that everyone, no matter how high his dignity, must bend the knee before that little baby. The church doesn't require us or encourage us to do full prostrations. That's not the custom here in our culture. It was then and 2,000 years ago, but humbly bending the knee. But let us remember that it's not enough to bend the knee. There must be a true submission to that baby. Without a true submission, I give my heart to thee, I will do thy will, then that's just a show. It doesn't have the meaning it should. And this is where so many fail. So many will refuse to bend the knee. And then there are those that bend the knee but don't bend their heart. When we sing, "Oh come, let us adore him," let us do it in the spirit of the three kings, of the Magi who came to worship. We're not at the third Mass, obviously, of Christmas, but nevertheless, we can worship him at all times. And notice the gifts that they bring: gold, incense, and myrrh. At least two of these were foretold by Isaiah. In chapter 60, they shall come bearing gold and frankincense, gold symbolizing works of charity, incense symbolizing prayer. And Isaiah did mention about how much he would suffer. He prophesied that. So in a way, he was foretelling the myrrh, even though it's not mentioned by name. He came to suffer. Myrrh was the spice used to anoint a person's body when deceased. That little infant will help us with the sufferings of life, which we must undergo. Know that he came to do the same thing, and of course to a degree that far exceeds anything mankind has done. He came to suffer and to die, but he is there. That little baby is there to help you, to continue to give your gifts of love to him, and for the love of him, your fellow man, the gift of prayer, and yes, the gift of suffering. Remember that he is the answer for all the world's problems. And the reason we have so many problems is there's so many that will refuse to submit to him, that don't want to acknowledge him. But he knows that we all will do that. In union with his Holy Mother Mary and Saint Joseph, we will give him that worship and that love and that prayer. And yes, we will bear our sufferings in the right spirit. That is always a gift that we give to him. So I wish you many blessings for this feast, and throughout the 12 days we have completed the Advent observance. Now let us celebrate, and let us continue to grow in our love of him who gave us, before we could ever give any gifts on our own, the one who gave us the gift of Christmas. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.